Welcome to Foot Weekly.
A motorway closing multi-car pileup or a mobility scooter grazing an inflatable bouncy castle? Just how big is this market crash?
Monthly rewards are finally here.
Horace has a quick plan for quick profit.
And as always, we talk through the team of the week, our informed impressions, as well as our dynamite discards.
So, welcome to week 9 of Foot Weekly. I'm Ben, and I'm here with Horace, as always.
Hello there.
And we are going to start off by chatting about our monthly rewards.
Yeah.
So both got the exciting reward of one silver player.
One silver inform from the month of October. All the hype. I think I joked when EA announced these that I'm sure I'd get some useless player because there are a whole load of 70-71 rated silver informs. And of course I got a 71 rated silver left mid called Nekaichik, who plays in the Russian League and looks pretty terrible.
But of course, you know, you've got to be a good nation, right? You can link him with plenty of players.
Yeah, yeah, those hybrid possibilities with all the other Belarusian players in the game.
All 11 of them.
Or, yeah, indeed. I was having a quick look and I think it is just possible to make a Belarusian team if you convert a cam to a striker and play a 3-5-2. You can have everyone in the right, correct positions.
Mm-hmm. And sure, plenty of solid pacey centre-backs for that formation,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. 45 pace, eat your heart out. But I was looking on the comments on Foothead, and apparently he's the first Belarusian inform in 5 years. So
wow, so you got a piece of history at least.
Yeah, I've got my own little piece of history, and it's pretty. It's got red on it.
Yeah, yeah, and also it fits quite well with the Belarusian flag, which is of course red.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of red. It is a cool looking card, but yeah. I'm never gonna play with it unless we choose to do
a monthly reward off. Maybe we could build up over the time that we
exactly.
Play. We can play each other with our monthly reward teams.
How about you?
Yeah, so I was a bit more fortunate. I got Keo, who's the Irish striker we talked about a few weeks ago. He's actually quite decent. Although he plays in the Hyundai A-League, so Australian League, he does have quite solid stats. 80 shooting on the card, 77 physical. He looks good. Like, I can't really have any complaints. And obviously, being Irish, if there is any kind of St. Paddy's celebration, then that could come in handy. And I was thinking maybe they might even do the weekend league being...
Yeah, an all-Irish weekend league. Be quite an interesting one. That would really fuck with the market.
So I'm thinking I may build a silver team with Keo and obviously we talked about Horgan, I think, last week.
Oh, yeah, the player of the year from the Irish League.
Yeah, he plays for Dundalk and has four-star weak foot, four-star skills, so could pair quite nicely with him. And Keo's got four-star weak foot, which is quite nice, three-star skills. 84 finishing on the card, 78 sprint speed, and 91 stamina, which kind of helpful on the strike, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, keeps running.
Yeah. You
put Hunter on him, he'll be, as we've kind of been... Well, I've at least felt this year, if you just put Hunter on anyone, it turns into a player. Cool.
So I think that's, all the monthly rewards.
All the monthly rewards that we got. We're both hoping to get ourselves gold this coming month.
Yeah, and I think I'm already pretty well placed because I've got, I think I calculated I'd need, if I want to, in terms of gold, I only need sort of 20 something more wins.
21 more.
21,
yeah.
Which I could do in one weekend quite possibly. Where, and if I wanted to get elites, I'd have to get 25 each weekend.
Yeah.
So that's, 25 and 26.
25 and 26. I mean, not undoable, but no. Potentially.
Undoable. not undoable. But it's a big ask, especially as I'm probably not going to play too much this weekend. But how did it go for you this weekend?
Yeah, it was a weird one. I got 19 wins in the end. I got gold 3 relatively quickly. In fact, I got gold 3 with the exact same record as I got the previous weekend, which was 18 wins from 29 games played. And it was technically 18 wins from 30 games played, but I had one very bizarre disconnect where I got to the screen where it was loading my opponent. It showed me my opponent's team, and it just stayed on that screen for about 5 minutes.
So it's like the classic loading
screen. Classic loading screen glitch from years ago. It stayed on that screen for about 5 minutes and then kicked me out. But I never lost connection to Xbox Live. I never lost any kind of connection. I got in touch with EA support, had a live chat with a guy who didn't seem to understand the problem at all.
The enormity of the situation.
Yeah, the gravity of what had happened. But he did give me 2 untradeable gold premium packs as a one-off compensation.
And obviously you got Ronaldo, so you're fine.
Yeah, yeah. I got fuck all. but, I mean, it's extra contracts and stuff, isn't it? And players you can submit for SBCs, which is better than nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too bad, I suppose. If one you never know, you might have lost the game. You got some premium gold packs out of it.
Yeah, so exactly.
Not the worst.
In the end, it didn't affect me being able to get up to another rank or anything because I didn't play all 40 matches. So it just cost me a bit of time and a bit of stress. And to be fair, the guy's team looked pretty terrible. So I maybe would have backed myself to win that match.
Okay.
But in the end, I can't actually remember what I finished on because I just had a horrible run after getting... Once I got gold 3, because that was basically my target to secure qualification for the coming week. And once I got that, I kind of... My heart wasn't in it. My head wasn't in it.
Yeah.
I think I won one more, but lost quite a few. Maybe another 3 or something. So, I mean, an all right weekend.
Yeah, I think the thing is for us, we it's possible that we can get like 18 wins within 30 matches. Which is like a more realistic amount of games to play.
Yeah, I mean,
weekend.
That's exactly what I've done the last 2
weekends. Yeah, and then that allows you to get the monthly reward, presumably.
Yeah, I mean, for me to get gold monthly reward, I need another 30 wins from the 2 remaining weekend leagues. So 15 in each week is eminently doable.
Yeah, and then that's quite a solid thing. So you get 3 Team of the Week players at the end of the month.
Yeah, and a kit.
And a kit, part A. and so that's quite good. And then also... it's not so many games that it's unrealistic to play. It's still a lot of games, but it's not unrealistic. Plus the fact that you don't have to play during the week because you're qualified for the next weekend. So you've got a bit more flexibility. You get a few things done during the week. You might have to play on the weekend.
Exactly.
So that's not too bad. I kind of went a bit hard again and ended up playing 39 games. I did actually quit out quite a lot because I had terrible lag the whole time, which really affected my record. I think I did get 21 wins, but it was a real kind of...
Bit of a grind.
It was quite horrible, but I think mainly because of lag. I got so first sort of bored and kind of like I changed my team for the last five, seven games or something, and made a team with like Al Summer and Carlos Eduardo from the Saudi League. So I'll talk about that later.
Patsidis as well.
Yeah. Patsidis, and got like a really good record with Al Summer in those games. But he's kind of continued it, but. Chat about that later for an informed impression.
Something to talk about now. The lag has been pretty terrible this weekend.
I mean, you've been having this lag where it kind of slows down and speeds up, doesn't it?
I've been having this weird lag where the game kind of slows down for a second or two, and then the next couple of seconds it goes in super speed, and kind of the inputs you were putting in when it was slowed down then get played out. So you're kind of having to, if you're on the ball, you're having to predict in advance where the defenders are going to go and hold roughly the right directions, or if you're defending the opposite.
So it's like trying to anticipate. Impossible during that period.
It's just luck. And I did have a couple of games decided by that where I think it went both ways. I mean, it always feels like it goes more for your opponent, but I'm sure I did get advantages from it a couple of times.
So you felt your opponent was experiencing it as well?
Yeah, I don't think it was deliberate on the part of my opponent. I think it's a server-side problem.
No, I just mean, like, do you feel like your opponent had the same problem that you were having at the same time?
Yeah. I think it definitely fucked with my opponents a fair bit as well, I think.
Because that's happened to me a couple of times, but not as much as actually you have. I've just had a pretty standard lag that you'd expect.
What, just kind of where the whole thing slows down?
Like, in a bit, like, a lot of games where, it's been green latency, but when you're in the game, it just doesn't feel like... you know, your players are kind of running through treacle, that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
You can't. And the way I play, because I dribble a lot and play risky passes off a dribble and stuff, it really affects, because you can't anticipate and you can't just bang a through ball through and like someone will get onto it because they'll automatically run after it. Like, I just really can't win a game if there's lag. It's really frustrating.
Your particular game style.
Yeah, it's just really difficult.
Used to be, our play styles used to be very similar, but I think I've become sweatier this year. I've gone a bit more direct, which is of course a bit of a euphemism just for sweaty. But gotta love those Hunter Chem styles that I keep packing.
But you know, I don't think I've ever packed a Hunter Chem style, and I've already had like 4 in the past month.
I think five even now.
This game.
Yeah, in FIFA 17, I've packed at least 5 Hunter Chem cells randomly. Like, and you never really notice it. Like, I always just, when it gets down to the consumables in a pack, I just hit send all to club. And then I think we were both looking at one of my squads on my account, and I was looking at chem cells, and you were the one that pointed out how many I had.
And they're like 4 or 5K, so.
Yeah, so to be fair, it's pretty.
It's like more valuable than the players I packed for this weekly weekly reward.
But then I've not packed any Sentinel or Shadow or Anchor. Mm. I've not picked up any defensive ones. So I've got a whole load of teams with all the attacking players with elite chem stars and then basic on all my defenders. So it looks a bit pathetic.
But, and it's funny because actually I think defensive chem stars are like really important because defenders don't really use
their, I mean, I've noticed a lot more this year than ever before, and it might partly be me paying attention to it. But I feel like I've seen a lot more teams where all the defenders have Shadow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's definitely a thing.
Yeah.
Just.
But I mean, if you put Shadow on players on Foothead, I mean,
if you look at the stats, I mean,
it's a huge difference.
It's insane.
A lot of the like decent defenders, gold defenders, are basically become team of the season players when you do that.
I mean, the pace difference is huge. It's 15 acceleration and 10 sprint speed. So, and a lot of defenders as well, acceleration is their weakest stat. So you'd have kind of like, they'd have like 70 acceleration and mid 70s for sprint speed.
And then that would go up to like 85 and 90.
It's crazy. It's ridiculous.
But hey, with Musa running at you all day, that's exactly the kind of thing you need.
Is what you need.
So I think that's that stuff covered. We'll move on quickly because I want to ask you about foot founders and people with early established dates, because it's something that's been all over the forums at the moment. People are quitting out because they see that someone has an early established date, either foot founder or, in my case, even 2011, because I switched from PS3 to Xbox at that point. It basically means that people don't want to play me. I had a streak of 11 people who quit out against me.
Wow.
There may be some latency issues I didn't see, and I should say that this was not last weekend when I was having the connection problems, so I would have lag problems, so I wouldn't have thought it was that, but certainly all the games appeared to be green latency.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, this is something I have, in previous years of FIFA, kind of thought a bit about, and if I was going into a tournament final, for instance, and I came up against a foot founder, I would occasionally think about quitting out. But I mean, that was a much smaller influence on those decisions than, say, the latency. If the latency was flickering, then I'd be much more likely to quit out than if it was a foot founder, which maybe just depending on how I was feeling, it might influence my decision. But I've noticed it a bit, kind of me, myself, almost subconsciously doing it in Foot Champions this year, because it hasn't been happening to me, because my founding date is 2015, because I switched consoles last year. But I do find if I'm on a bad run, I will look to try and play someone with a founding date of 2014 or later, or roughly. I mean, I don't have that as a hard and fast rule or anything, but just I feel happier trying to break a losing streak if I'm going into someone with a later established date. And I mean, in the vast majority of cases, it's going to make no difference. But the kind of, I guess the thinking is, if you play someone with a founder status, then you know they've had an Ultimate Team Club since 2009. Whereas if you play someone with a founding date of 2015, then there's a chance that, like me, they've been playing for years, but they just switched console or started a new club or something. But there's also a chance that they did only start playing the game then.
Yeah, yeah.
So on average, you've got a slightly better chance of coming up against a bad player.
So my argument against this is that actually people who have established date 2016 who are in the weekend league, for example, they've got to be vaguely decent.
Yeah.
And also there's the fact that actually people who've had a club since since Foot Founder, so 2008 or 9 or whatever it is, they are basically like older than most people who play the game, which isn't necessarily a bad idea, because basically, some of the older players are going to be more time poor and unable to play as much.
Yeah.
And actually, they may have played only 100 games a year for the past 6 years. Admittedly, it's unlikely, and I'm sure the players here at Foot Founders are more committed. But I mean, I've quite enjoyed playing Foot Founders or people with early established dates. Generally, they seem to be a little less sweaty.
Yeah.
much less likely to dab on you, which is a key factor.
That is true.
And I mean, ultimately, I don't really have a choice because I can't really pick and choose when everyone's picking and choosing against me.
Because it'll take you forever to get into a game.
It takes long enough. But I think it's got to be something they have to cover up. They need to cover up the founding date because it takes me way too long to get a game sometimes. And I'm 2011, I can't imagine what it's like for a foot founder.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it probably, as I said, like there's some very small average quality of player difference that it probably does make. But equally, if I know I'm going into a game against a foot founder, I probably raise my game. I probably focus harder rather than maybe going into the game thinking like, oh, founded October 2016, bloody hell, this should be an easy game.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think in what's meant to be a competitive game mode, they shouldn't have
anything
like that visible.
You only need three things to know three things going into the game. First thing is the latency, which is obviously really important. Mm-hmm. The second thing is the kits.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is the ground. I don't think you need to know anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would hide everything. It doesn't matter.
Even club name, player name.
Possibly keep the club name because you need to want to be able to differentiate between who you're about to face up against.
Yeah, true.
But apart from that, I don't really see, you know, maybe keep badges, possibly. So pretty much everything else can go. Squad names.
Yeah.
Because they seem to influence people for some reason.
Yeah, I nearly went into a game with someone the other day and then I saw that his squad name was Alba. And I was like, there is no way I'm playing against someone when 100% I know they're going to have a Aubameyang.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, you see people, whether it's deliberate or if they're just lazy about renaming their squads, where they'll put like B team or Silvers or something as the name of their squad, but it's actually an elite gold team.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, that's something where that's an element of potential gamesmanship or...
It's just unnecessary, yeah.
Just, yeah, it you don't need that to be visible.
And the foot founding date, I mean, a lot of people like it as sort of a badge, oh, like I'm a foot founder, blah, blah, blah. In fact, a guy on the forums was saying that someone was so surprised to come up against a foot founder that they messaged him asking if he worked for EA or something like that.
So I think kind of basically to round up on this, it doesn't need to be visible, at least not in Foot Champions match creation. I think that's where it definitely shouldn't be visible.
Definitely.
In divisions, maybe, because that's this year nominally less competitive, or at least the huge rewards aren't on the line. So in divisions and tournaments...
I think maybe it does need to be, because people might just be quitting out.
You
might
maybe it should only be visible in single matches.
Yeah.
I don't know. There is the status symbol thing, and I mean, maybe Foot Founders should get a special kit or something.
Well, maybe, I mean, it could just appear on the loading screen.
Yeah.
I mean, once you're at the loading screen, you can have what you like there, because they can't quit.
You're locked in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what I think we should go on to next is something that we've literally just seen come in, which is a picture of Eden Hazard holding the Player of the Month trophy.
Yeah, I mean, by the time this pod goes out, you may well already know, because EA will announce it officially on Friday. But this seems to be the first semi-official, or unofficial, but kind of confirmation that Eden Hazard's got the Player of the Month for October, because there's been lots of debate about whether it'd be Eden Hazard or Joe Allen.
And the interesting thing about it is, obviously, our discussion last week about the quality of the player.
Yeah.
And the value that card would have in contrast to, obviously, Joe Allen, means that it's going to have to be quite a significant investment if it is an SBC. And it feels more likely, in my opinion, that he'll just be in packs.
Yeah, I would love to see how EA handled an immensely valuable SBC and kind of see what the requirements for it were, and kind of just, because it would be quite fascinating, see what it did to the market. Because I think we've seen how, as the SBCs have ramped up each time, there's been kind of differing levels of hype and reaction in the market. Like the first time there was an SBC that required informs, Ben, you made like 400k on those Yottas because they pretty much tripled in price because they were previously discard informs that no one had any real use for, and suddenly everyone wanted one. And that lasted like a day or two.
Mm.
But if there was suddenly an SBC with requirements that were like many hundreds of thousands of coins investment required, and maybe multiple informs or very specific informs, it'd just be quite interesting to observe.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like he has to be in packs. EA ultimately wants to make money of the game, and I find it hard to believe. I mean, this may sound ridiculous because you know that I'm wrong, but I think that they just would put him in packs because it's such a good money. He's going to look like a cool card, and I think he'll definitely draw the pack openings, and people will get excited. So I feel like it would be losing out to do a squad building challenge.
Yeah, no, I do agree. I think the more likely outcome is that he's in packs, which is fine, but he kind of just becomes a bit like a man of the match card or something. I guess it'll be interesting to see how long they put him in packs for. Maybe he'd be in packs for an extra long amount of time, so that compared to a lot of 90 rated informs, he maybe becomes more accessible.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think, like, from a selfish perspective, I quite like him to be in packs because I'm not that bothered about obtaining him through an SPC.
Yeah.
I'm quite keen for people to get on the pack openings and drive down the price of some of the players in this week's team of the week, because it's a really good team of the week. And also, with the incoming possibility of Black Friday, this could be quite good at sort of getting it going. And I'd quite like to see a crash so I can buy maybe a legend or something. So,
yeah, true. It would, I think, as a kind of flagship player to kick off Black Friday or whatever it is that EA choose to do, because this is the time when they usually do some big promotion, he kind of fits the bill.
Yeah, and I think we should say that you might have noticed already, although we'll talk a bit more about trading, that prices have dropped significantly. Players like Kante have almost halved in price. So obviously the crash is underway. We warned maybe a week or two. I think we warned 2 weeks ago that people should look to sell, and it looks like the crash is starting to happen. The other thing to note, though, is that we mentioned that Foot United might be around the corner.
Mm.
It seems that Foot United hasn't happened. I think that's probably because, basically, Foot United was always brought in when COD came out, or a game that could... Of similar stature, which could draw people away from FIFA. Never really bothered me that much. I don't have that much interest in COD, but the point is that this year has been a really bad year for COD.
Yeah.
They have, their sales have...
Naughty fisheries.
Exactly. It has been a real nightmare for them.
Yeah. They've had a lot of bad reviews and just not as much hype around the game as there usually would be. So what potentially we're thinking EA might not feel compelled to do for United?
I don't think they will.
It's an interesting one in that also, you'd have thought it's still just more money for EA.
Well, yeah, maybe. But Foot Champions has also meant that people are continuing to play the game, I think.
In terms of player traffic and just the amount of people playing the game, I suppose they're probably not struggling.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they don't feel the need to try and artificially stimulate more interest because it's already still very high.
Yeah. Cool.
I mean, this crash, it's more of a slow falling over than a crash, isn't it?
Yeah, it is more of like a slight down a hill.
Players are steadily slumping rather than
there's been the odd
falling
jump,
off a cliff.
But like, yeah. So there was a bit of a jump early this week with players dropping 10k.
I think
10K.
It was basically people selling off their teams after Foot Champions. Combined with, I guess a lot of people probably saw last weekend's Foot Champions, the end of that as the time they were going to sell their team before the crash. Because obviously a lot of the FIFA community are aware there's meant to be a crash.
Yeah.
And so people try to preempt it. And so it's a steadily snowballing thing rather than something that happens instantaneously. But that was a moment when a lot of people might have thought, that's the last point I'm going to.
And then there was the addition of my cards. The 50k packs as well.
This week.
50K packs. So we could see with Black Friday, there's normally really good pack offers. So we could still see a significant drop.
I wouldn't be surprised by a big drop. And that Black Friday officially is the 25th of November. So that's next. This coming Friday in a week's time.
And if anyone's planning to open packs around that time, then I just encourage you to sit on the players, because within a week or so, they'll gain a bit more value. And unless you desperately need the money, you might as well.
With all things Foot, patience often just pays off massively. We've seen it with SBCs. Even like very short term things, like last week in my Fit Champions pack, I got James Rodriguez. Mm. And at the time I packed him, I when everyone else was opening their Fit Champions packs, I checked his price and he was about 79k, 80k. I held off just for 24 hours and then everyone was trying to build their teams for the weekend league and I sold him for 92 or something. Mm. Kind of, it's not a huge difference, but it is an extra 10k in my club. But...
And I got exactly the same thing with the players that I packed that week as well, which were decently valuable. Coutinho, again, I think I'm about 10k I made by selling him the day after. And yeah, in terms of patience, last week I did the Jensen SBC for very little.
Managed to get it for like less than 10k.
Yeah, less than 10k in the end, just because I did a bit of spam searching towards the end of the SBC being up for special cards below sort of 10k, and managed to snipe a Balazs. Would link up nice. He's a silk player. Would link up nicely with your man Nick. What's his name?
Nick Nikajczyk, something like that.
Your man Nick.
Nick.
That was quite fortunate. So yeah, got him pretty cheaply. And actually, interesting. There's been quite a lot of Danish informs and special cards of late.
Yeah, I mean Christian Eriksen this week. I've picked him up.
So we'll talk about him a bit later.
Chat later.
But actually, that comes in nicely in terms of what we're going to talk about with
trading,
kind of trading.
Yeah, so just a little trading technique that we've spoken in the past about kind of long-term investments, how Ben picked up a whole load. I mentioned earlier in this pod how Ben picked up a load of Jotas, and then a week or 2 weeks later, there was an event, in this case, the Son SBC, which meant their price skyrocketed. You can do much shorter-term trading with Inform specifically. If you go onto, say, Footbin, and you look at the hourly price graphs in kind of 24 hours to 2 days after release, they steadily decline from 6 p.m. on the Wednesday through until some point on Wednesday night, the early Thursday morning, when Foot Champions rewards come out. And then they absolutely plummet because loads and loads of people are getting loads of packs. This week, the Foot Champions, because they did the monthly rewards, the Foot Champions rewards were a little bit later. So people in the UK didn't get their packs until the morning. And that slightly prolonged this period of the price plummeting because of Foot Champions, which meant that a lot of these informs hit a kind of trough at about 8 or 9 a.m. And I was looking at all their prices, and someone like Eriksen had been, I think, 180k when I checked him before going to bed last night. I woke up in the morning and he was 90k, so I picked one up. And then by midday, he was back up at kind of 110. So I think there is definitely something to be said for looking at informs that will be popular, particularly for weekend team
Premier League players,
basically Premier League informs. And look, early morning on the Thursday, check Footbin, check that they've not started to climb already, or that they're not at what might be another peak. But there's a decent chance that early morning on Thursday, if you pick up a bunch of informs, sell them on 24 hours later on Friday, the price, you'll make quite a decent amount of money.
It's quite a good technique, especially as obviously the demand is huge for the weekend league.
Yes.
Yeah. And the other thing on the trading front, I mentioned before, the informed trading has still been quite successful. I actually sold Modesto, informed impressioned a few weeks ago. He was very good, but didn't quite fit into my style of play or the squads I had. So I sold him, made 10k, just bought for 15 when he was bought for 13 when he was impacts.
Kind of on the Tuesday before he goes out of packs.
Yeah, I think I actually bought him. Interestingly, I think at that time, I don't know why it was, one of the cheapest times was Sunday late, just straight after the weekend league. I think people were selling their players up, and although it ends a bit later now, obviously. And the fact that I think people were getting their packs, which came with the game, because you on Monday 1 a.m.
Oh, that's good.
You get your whatever the packs are that come with the
various
premium deluxe mumbo jumbo pack. Yeah. So the other thing to add on that is just picking up those players when they're cheap in packs, especially if you think you might use them. Just works really well. I mean,
For me with Eriksen, he's in my his regular card has been in one of my weekend league teams, so I'll probably use this inform for a bit and then hopefully shift him on maybe Saturday morning at the latest, maybe tomorrow evening time. And then just use his regular card for the rest of the weekend league. And if I decide that I miss his in form, I'll pick him up again on Tuesday when his price is low again.
Yeah, so it's sort of win-win, you know, get a bit of time with him, make a bit of profit. I was thinking the other good player that I invested in was Opara when he had his Scream card. I mean, he's obviously a phenomenal player.
The
silver centre-back. And, you know, he has 85 pace, this card. I talked about him a few weeks ago, but the point was I got him for 46k when he... when there was all that crash on Scream cards.
Yeah.
Before the weekend league, which they could be used. And when they got their boots, they all crashed. So I picked up one for 46k then. And now he's going for 77k. And I'm pretty sure that you could even see a further rise because he's by far the best silver centre-back as in the game.
Yeah, for sure.
Great. Before we have a break, let's have a look at some of the social Reddit forum related postings that we look at each week. So what have you got for us, Horace?
Just a Reddit post that I saw over the weekend, which was just a kind of nothing particularly in-depth or anything, but just a suggestion or an idea or something to maybe think about, which is maybe EA will do one-to-watch cards for the January transfer window, because they obviously, the one-to-watch cards were picked from players that transferred this past summer to big clubs who are under certain ages, and yeah, it's just a guy called Kim Jong Trill. What a fun name. asking if anyone thought they might do them for January. And it was something I hadn't thought about. And
yeah, just would kind of make sense, wouldn't it?
Given they're trying to do a whole bunch of stuff this year in terms of special cards and new promotions they haven't done before. So that could be something to watch out for with January coming up.
Any excuse to throw out some additional cards? I think they'd probably take it.
But though I suppose, I mean, it could be limited by how active the market is in January. It could be quite a restricted pool of players to choose from.
And obviously around that time you have Team of the Year as well.
Yeah, of course. I suppose with a whole bunch of the one-to-watch players having got themselves long-term injuries, they might want to replenish the ones that could be getting in forms.
Want to curse more players with the one-to-watch curse.
Yeah, indeed. But Ben, I think you've got something a bit more technical and in-depth for us.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's something that not everyone will be interested in, but I feel there are a couple of people out there that might be very interested in this. Two FIFA forumers, Barsland and Wijnaldum 16, both very, very long time forum members and very active, have had a discussion, which basically them having a chat and me being like, oh, that's cool, about putting together a spreadsheet which will basically bring in the footbin data for a player. So what you can do is make a Google spreadsheet of all your players using the same kind of formula that they've used, and it will draw in the price and some of the relevant details for that player.
Mm-hmm.
So what that would actually allow you to do is have a sheet with real-time prices for your informs, especially, would make sense.
Yeah.
So you can see what kind of loss or gain you're currently making, dependent on how much you bought them for.
Okay, interesting.
So they're in sort of the early stages of making this. So, I mean, it'll likely become more advanced as time goes on, because they seem to be keen to sort of add stuff and develop it. But what they've got going is pretty good, and it seems to work at the moment. So anyone who wants to try that out, we'll leave the link in description, and you can start tracking your informs. And if you're doing the inform investing, which I talked about earlier, that'll work out really well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting tool, potentially, to be able to, in semi-real time, be tracking the price of lots of your players and have it all in one place. Because obviously, the tools exist to be aware of what all your players cost. But kind of, if you have, say, 10, 15, 20, or however many players in your club that you're maybe concerned about their price or just intrigued to know, this is a really, potentially really, really useful tool.
You can also add sort of figures and graphs and charts and things. So, yeah, keep an eye on that, and we'll post the link so you can have a look.
Yeah, budding foot statisticians.
But one of those things you don't sort of think about until someone brings it up on the forums or Reddit in some cases, and it looks really interesting.
Yeah, cool.
In a very nerdy way. Well, that rounds us up for part one. We'll see you in a few seconds for part two, where we'll talk about our team of the week picks and also Dynamite discards and informed impressions. I hope you enjoyed that break. I know I did. So we now move on to the bit where we talk about the team of the week. And this is an interesting team of the week. It seems to have more Premier League left wingers than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah, there's what, three left-sided Premier League players in this team of the week and four Premier League wingers in total.
And so, an additional three Premier League players on top of that.
Yeah, considering it's an international team of the week, there's an awful lot of Premier League in there. I mean, it's a really, really good team of the week, isn't it?
Yeah, again, I mean, last week was pretty good, and this one...
This one probably top six. Yeah. You've got Neymar representing the super elite players up there, that 93 looking. I mean, he looks awesome.
Yeah.
You've got Lukaku, who I've not used him this year, but I've played against him, and he's a nightmare.
Yeah.
That inform looks terrifying. Quaresma is a card we've both loved this year. I know you're going to talk about him in a minute. Dimitri Payet as well. Again, a left mid rather than the cam, keeping that SBC card special.
Yeah.
But this is now his third 87 rated card because he's got the SBC cam, the Ultimate Scream left mid with like slightly meagre upgrades, and then a left mid in form with slightly better upgrades. Mm. So that's an interesting one. Dries Mertens, he's an awesome card. Christian Eriksen. And
Dries Mertens is in centre forward as well. So
yeah, he's in the central line, so that's a significant position change.
Really good position change there.
I mean, potentially an awesome cam as well, aside from even just using his pace to make him a really sweaty striker. Christian Eriksen, I've used his regular card, love him, he's good. Brozovic, probably the first miss in this team of the week.
He's a right mid, so...
If he was in the centre, he'd be an awesome cheap kind of centre mid cam card. I mean, he's got decent defending.
And the perfect link to Prisic.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a pity about his position change. Then in the defence, got Kyle Walker. I'm sure he's awesome.
Yeah.
Miguel Layún, the 5-star weak foot Mexican left back from Porto, who had that awesome team of the season card last year. He looks really good. Claudio Bravo in goal. Solid. Martin Skrtel, he's a bit meh. But I mean, to get 9 pretty awesome players in the starting 11. Is very impressive. And then on the bench, you've got Bolasie, extra 5-star skills. Flores, the third or fourth 5-star skiller in this week.
Yeah, he's a bronze.
He's a bronze.
Only 70 pace, unfortunately, but he has got 83 dribbling on a bronze card, which is pretty
crazy. Very solid. But also Victor Moses, Depay, Italian striker Belotti, Jonas Hector, the German left back, and Piatov, the Ukrainian keeper, making out the rest of the players, who I actually packed this week. And I was like, oh, 85 rated, second in form keeper. And he was already going for 11k because no one ever uses Shakhtar players.
But has okay stats, right?
Yeah, he looks like a really decent keeper. So I was thinking about some kind of funky hybrid I might use down the line. But just a really, really solid.
And 4-5-star skillers.
Yeah, 4-5-star skillers, really pretty much unheard of. Yeah. So Ben, do you want to kick us off?
Well, yeah, talking of 5-star skillers, might as well lead with the main man himself, for me, Quaresma, because we both used him. I like a bit of skills, like a bit of dribbling, and for that reason, I've really enjoyed Quaresma this season and in previous seasons. Seasons? And he just looks really, really good. I'll start with his dribbling because that's what he's all about. 97 agility, 96 balance, 94 ball control, and 99 dribbling.
This is with which chem sub?
Sniper.
Sniper.
And we've also got 88 finishing, 94 volleys, 92 penalties, 88 positioning, 87 shot power, 87 long shots, 94 crossing, and 98 curve.
Oh my god.
And he's got 84 free kick accuracy, which is perfectly passable. And with that kind of curve, should do the job.
Yeah.
84 vision as well. And he's got decent acceleration and sprint speed with 86 pace on the card. He will be very good. I mean, you could also use him with Hunter if you'd like him to be a bit more
effective.
Yeah.
More direct.
But I think I'm going to use him alongside possibly the inform Depay, who's another player I was going to talk about, so I'll just move straight on to him, I think. Because I was thinking about having them either side of inform Van Persie,
who
I haven't tried, but I've heard some mumblings that he might be passable.
Okay.
Despite his pace. So with him in the middle, probably with false nine instructions, I reckon that could work. So Depay just looks just like almost like an elite winger already, despite being 83 rated. Got 93 acceleration, 90 sprint speed. This is with sniper. So finishing 92, positioning 90, shot power 94. That's standard, no boost off sniper there. 96 free kick accuracy and 90 curve. 84 strength. 92 agility, 97 balance, 99 dribbling, 89 ball control. And yeah, I mean, it just looks stunning. Yeah. I mean, the only problem is he does have
I guess
2-star weak foot.
Yeah, the 2-star weak foot lets him down. I've come up against his regular card a couple of times this year, and he has not played like he has a 2-star weak foot.
Yeah, to be fair, FIFA doesn't always
represent that.
So yeah, I think you've got another BPL winger.
Yeah, I guess sticking on that theme, I was looking at Yannick Bolasie, who has a pretty decent looking 78 rated non-inform this year, but as with a lot of the lower rated golds, this plus 4 to his overall has really improved his stats no end. Like, it takes his shooting up to mid-70s on card without a chem style, which is really, really useful, because that was basically his big weak point. Like, you could get into amazing positions with him because he was so quick and strong with the dribbling and the 5-star skills, but he just couldn't finish. But this card gets a nice little base boost, and then I was thinking, if you put Deadeye on him, which is quite a nice chem style for forward players because it gives 15 to finishing, as well as 10 to shot power, which Sniper doesn't do, as well as a little boost to long shots, a decent boost to positioning, and also boosts vision by a bit. Short passing gets boosted by 15. So it's basically really good if you just want to improve a player's link-up play and finishing.
Kind of technical abilities, yeah.
So I was just looking at him with Deadeye on him, and it takes his, I mean, base, he's got 91 acceleration and sprint speed, 88 agility, 86 ball control, 91 dribbling, 86 strength. So
yeah, and he's like 6 foot, isn't he?
And he's 6 foot tall. So on that front, that's awesome. And then the chem style takes his positioning to 86, his finishing to 85, his shot power to 99, his long shots to 83, his short passing to 92. He looks awesome.
Yeah, he does look amazing. I think, yeah, he's definitely someone I want to try out. And I think if I can find it, I was thinking trying to make a team with him and Charisma would just be so much fun, but
you just kind of need a legend to link them, to be honest. Yeah. Kind of nightmarish.
Well, I don't know, with the Black Friday, I'm thinking I might pick up someone like Suka. If you haven't, have a look at Suka with Hunter on, just something to behold. But and he's not too expensive, well, not ridiculously expensive for a legend with 4-star skills.
Yeah, and I mean, Bolasie at the moment is only just over 40k, so maybe a little more than that,
50 now, but. If we are talking prices on a Thursday, so just bear that in mind.
So yeah, the second card I want to talk about from this team of the week is Christian Eriksen. I've used his non-inform quite extensively this year because he's linked up with Heung-Min Son in the Player of the Month card. And this is a really, really phenomenal looking card. I spotted him in the team of the week straight away and expected him to be really, really expensive, and yet last night he was up at kind of 180k, and he's pretty much halved in price overnight. I think he's recovered a little bit coming into Thursday evening, but I was looking at him with Deadeye because it seems to just match his stats perfectly, because I've been using him as a converted him to centre forward and playing him almost as a false nine. And with Deadeye, his pace is solid. It's 80 acceleration, 75 sprint speed. That's just default on card. His dribbling is fine all round. His agility is a little lower, 80, but the rest of the dribbling stats are excellent. But then on his shooting, he's got 95 positioning, 95 finishing, 94 shot power, 90 long shots, 74 volleys and 77 penalties. And on his passing, he's got 94 vision, 88 crossing, 99 free kick accuracy, 99 short passing, 90 long passing and 99 curve. So an awful lot of 90s there, and he's basically the kind of ultimate creative player, but can also finish and put it away. And with Deadeye, his free kicks on his regular card have become, from certain positions, almost like penalties for me. I've scored, I think, over the weekend league, maybe 7 or 8 30-yard free kicks with Eriksen, just doing driven with kind of top and side spin with about kind of 3 to 4 bars of power. He's just brilliant at them. something about the balance of his stats, and I realised it was because I had Deadeye on him, so even his base card had nearly 99 free kick accuracy and curve. So the little boost that this card gets, I think it looks very tasty.
And also, the he has like 90-something stamina as well.
Yeah, he just keeps going and going.
Like, is that really underrated on a flair player? You just don't always get that. So
yeah, that's really good. Exactly.
So my third pick is Jonas Hector. He's a left-back many people would be familiar with because he got a team of the season last year, I think.
Yeah.
Very, very solid all-round card. You know, 70 on the shooting and everything else is around 80. And with Anchor, as you'd expect, he becomes a really solid... Well, he's already pretty solid, but he becomes a very solid defender. 90 interceptions, 93 stand tackle, 94 sliding tackle, 87 strength, 89 stamina. He's quite tall at 6 foot. He's got 3-star skills. He's almost definitely the best German left back now. He's got very solid stats across the board. Otherwise, there's no need for me to sort of list them off, but he can take a long shot. He's got a good shot passing and very serviceable in terms of the dribbling. So yeah. I think he's a kind of player that I might look to pick up just as I may well use him in the future.
Yeah, I expect he'll be quite cheap because he doesn't have a kind of crazy outstanding stat on card. Like yeah, he doesn't have ridiculous pace or he doesn't have... he's just very solid all round. Mm. But I think he does a bit like maybe when we were looking at Jota back in the first team of the week. He plugs a gap, like there isn't a good German left-back, really.
Yeah, I think
there are decent Bundesliga left-backs.
Next best for German.
But there's no one really that good who is German.
And especially if people are looking to get a strong link to Hummels or Boateng but can't afford
Alaba.
Yeah. Or need a German player instead. I think he could be quite a good player. I might pick up just a few of him because you never know with a player like
could
that.
Could be demand for him.
The other weird thing about him, though, is when you don't have a Kempstall on him, he's got 80 pace on the card, but only 78 acceleration and 79 sprint speed.
So yeah, go figure.
You can understand when a player has 80 acceleration and 79 sprint speed, they get 80 pace.
Yeah, that seems very bizarre.
Very weird. So I think you've got a left back for your next pick, right?
Yeah, so sticking on the left back theme, I'm looking at Miguel Layún, the Mexican left back who plays for Porto, who I think I mentioned earlier had a pretty phenomenal team of the season card last year. And he is maintaining his kind of phenomenal all-round ability, like even more than Jonas Hector, not meaning to shoot down your pick or anything, Ben. But Hector had sort of 80 shot power and mid-70s long shots. Layún has 88 shot power and 84 long shots, just base on the card. He's got 90 crossing, 85 short passing, 80 long passing. So really excellent on the ball stats. And I mean, not to mention his dribbling, everything in the dribbling section of his stats is above 80 without any chem-style boosts. So he will feel excellent on the ball, agile, quick.
He's one of those players you can afford to easily put anchor on him and lose any boost to his...
Yeah, you don't need to boost his passing or dribbling at all because he's got everything you need and more going forward for a fullback. And I mean, his defensive stats are decent. He's got 83 interceptions, 81 stand tackle, 80 sliding tackle as base. He's also got 91 stamina. So the only thing area he's really lacking is probably in the air. I mean, he's got 79 jumping.
He's not really short either.
And he's 5'10". So yeah, having said that, he's not going to be bad in the air.
And he's got like 5-star weak foot and 3-star skills.
He's a perfect fullback, to be honest. And 86 pace. Though again, a bit like Hector, his stats don't seem to average out to 86. He's got 84 acceleration, 86 sprint speed.
Maybe it's just a bug in the display.
Maybe
it's something we hadn't noticed.
One thing to note is he only has 70 strength. But I think that's serviceable for a fullback.
Yeah, not everyone's Luke Shaw. But I mean, it's just such a good team of the week. It's really got the...
Yeah, there are genuinely...
players that I'd pick up.
How many 16 gold players in this team of the week? I would happily pick up probably 10, 12 of them.
Yeah, I think that's the only bad thing about it almost.
Yeah, exactly. There are too many to
spend
pick.
All my coins on this team of the week, pretty much.
And have nothing left for when the market crashes, guys. The market's going to crash. And yeah, I think that covers us for the team of the week. Let's move on to our informed impressions, which this week are coming from Ben.
So my informed impression is going to be Al Summer. Doing it all night, all summer. I mentioned him earlier because I'd got a bit disillusioned with the weekend league towards the end. Just decided to mash together a squad with him in to try and see whether it was viable for the weekend league. for the last sort of five games, and ended up getting 11 goals, 2 assists in those five games with El Summer. Doing it all night, all summer. He was really, really effective. And I'm also pretty impressed with the man I put behind him, Carlos Eduardo, who I think got 6 assists and 2 goals in the same amount of games, which is quite solid. So the formation was the 4-2-3-1, the one with the three cams across the middle. So on the left had Giuliano in the central cam role, Carlos Eduardo, and then on the right we have
Giannis Fetfatsidis.
Giannis Fetfatsidis.
You may remember as a silver 5-star skiller from years back.
Yeah, he was really good actually. But he's a 77 rated goal, but he's actually really good, even though he's only got 84 pace. Now he has like a really, really good burst of acceleration. He's only 5'4", which is really agile. And I think he's good. He gets a strong link to Al Summer, and I'd recommend the combination. It seems to work quite well, and the team as a whole, you can, as long as you've got a link to Giuliano obviously, and another Brazilian CDM on the right, so Mauricio on the left is recommended, and then another Brazilian CDM on the right, you've kind of sorted it and you can work something out from there. Yeah, Al Summer, really effective. The main thing about him, he's 6'3", he's got, you know, really high strength when you put, I've got marksman on him. But the thing that makes him really different and a bit special, I think, is the fact that his agility and ball control are really strong. So he's got 83 agility with marksman. And I think that really sets him apart from even players, you know, with 78 balance as well. Even players like Ibrahimovic, who have quite low balance.
Yeah.
He really holds his ground against stronger centre backs.
And he can kind of get shots off even if he's under pressure.
Exactly. So I found him really good at just pumping shots into the top corner.
Yeah.
Because even if he's like going away from goal, he'll like turn and hit it and strike the top corner. And he's got phenomenal shot power at 99 as well as 96 long shots.
Nice. So you can kind of catch people out with the shots from distance.
Yeah, exactly. And so I found him really good. And I think that the best system is probably something like that with the three cams. You can have like a lot of fluidity around him, a bit of pace out wide so that you can get a cross in or two, because honestly, I think he's probably the best attacking player I've used in the air. Has very good jumping for his height. Yeah, he also has power header trait, which is really helpful, and has tries to be defensive line, so it doesn't mean he gets in behind a bit and can do that because his pace is decent. So and I think that's pretty much my glowing endorsement of him.
Yeah.
And I'd give him a go. I don't think he'll suit everyone. He's just he obviously has 4-star skills, which is a huge factor for me. But give him a go. And Carlos Eduardo in behind him, that's an inform as well, and he's very effective.
Yeah,
I mean, you've played with him. He has a quite an interesting.
I mean,
feel to him.
He's quite slow, but quite. I kept, to be honest, kind of just jumping in with someone else's team. I kept getting confused between him and Al Summer because they're both quite tall. I think they had similar boots, maybe, and a similar skin tone. And so a lot of the time I wasn't actually sure which one I was using when we were playing with the team quickly for a game. But he did, when I was sure that I was using him, he was quite good. Like, he feels nice on the ball, he's got a decent amount of strength.
And he sort of holds, like a lot of people play like slightly weaker CDMs now, like, but with pace.
Yeah.
And I think he counteracts that quite well because he's got a bit more strength about him. And I should say that you can get both of these players for the
discard price,
really. 12k, I think I ended up getting maybe one of them for 13, but I think I'd picked a bad time. So just, have a go.
Really solid. Nice. Let's shoot on to Dynamite Discard this week. I've just got one player. It is Gianelli Imbula, who is the French centre mid that played in the Portuguese League last year and moved to Stoke this summer. He's 6'1". Basically, I put him into a 4-3-2-1 team because I needed a French CM in the Premier League. I wanted someone who could contribute going forwards as well as backwards. I didn't want I had Kante in a different team, who was obviously the best French centre mid in the Premier League. I didn't want to use Schneiderlin or Coquelin or someone like, or Kabay, because they all were either too small or too defensive. So I just figured I'd pick him up, use discard price. And he's actually really impressed me. He basically fits that mould of very, very highly physical Premier League midfielder that you get. the basic chem style on him. He's just excellent all round. He's got 81 vision, 88 short passing, 81 long passing, so he covers you for that. He's got 80 agility, 85 ball control, 86 dribbling, so you're covered there. Defensively, he's got 78 interceptions, 82 standing tackle, 78 sliding tackle, you're fine there. He's got 82 strength, decent jumping, over 80 stamina, not to mention decent long shots at 77 and 84 shot power. And I scored one absolute screamer with him off a rebound from a corner where I was going slightly away from goal, just outside the box, and hit it across the keeper into the far corner, kind of just hoping for a rebound, and he like just got it absolutely perfectly.
It was a bit of a rocket.
Right into the top corner.
And almost like no kind of run up to it.
Yeah, like no backlift. He's basically standing. And yeah, when that went in, I knew I was in for a nice game and that I'd made the right pick with my random player just to fill out the chemistry in the squad.
Mm.
So yeah, if you're a bit like the other week when I recommended Gay and Delph, he's basically like a much taller version of them. Taller, stronger, slightly slower, but really, really solid player. So definitely pick him up if you're looking to build a budget team because of the market crash.
Well, that brings us to the end of a mammoth Foot Weekly.
Get in touch if you've got any questions or topics for us to discuss next week at Foot Weekly Pod on Twitter.
I hope you pick up some bargains as prices plummet. And as always, good luck this weekend in the Weekly League, especially if your name's Steve.
Goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me. We'll be right back.